I think one of the most well-respected coaches in the NHL is Paul Maurice. And I think I saw him do probably one of the noblest moves I've seen in the NHL in a long time this weekend. Or I guess Friday.
He jumped on the grenade himself.
I think a lot of times coaches end up seeing their expiry date. They're aware of the expiry date. And they choose to ignore it. And I don't blame them, right? Like, your life's... I don't want to say your life goal, but being a coach in the NHL is the pinnacle of your career, in a sense that if you started, you know, when you're 30 or whatever, started coaching, your dream is probably to be in the NHL. Kind of like kids who are playing hockey when they're 6 or 7, their dream is to be in the NHL. And it's very hard to kind of accept the fact that your dream, I don't want to say it's over, but kind of over, right? So I respect the fact that he's aware of being like, you know what, like, I haven't lost the room. Ownership still loves me. Management still loves me. But I'm not, you know, I gotta respect myself if I'm a coach. I gotta respect myself. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm not giving it my 100%. And I know someone can do better to step aside.
I think I saw a snippet where it's like, you know, I think he didn't want to start this year kind of thing, but then it was like a decision to make, you know, up till now. And then he just said, you know what, like, this is it for me. Like, by resigning, I don't think he gets the rest of his money for the year, which I guess doesn't really matter to him. He's been in the league for so many years, but at the same time, you don't actively walk away from 7 figures.
Well, not just that, he had an option for next year, and it was well known that management loved him, ownership loved him. So, you know, he was only going to leave if he wanted to leave. He wasn't going to get fired. So, like, the option was going to get picked up if he wanted to get picked up, right? So, at the end of the day, you know, it's theirs if he wanted. So, he's walking away from a multi-year deal. I respect it.
Now, do you think that he's resigning so he doesn't become the third Canadian? Like, he doesn't become, like, to me, I wonder if it's more like he just doesn't want to have the shame of being fired, so that's why he resigned. Because, like, the Jets, they have a good team, but for some reason they've kind of, like, hit this mediocrity right now, right? Where they aren't as, you know, they're not hitting that high that they had, like, maybe 5-6 years ago, and they've never been able to reach that high again. I wonder if there's also, like, the writing on the wall that he probably, this is the most he can get out of this team right now.
I don't think so. I think when it was known that management still loved him, leadership still loved him, like, ownership still loved him. So I don't think he was close to getting fired, I'll be honest with you. Worst case scenario, he doesn't get his option picked up. And I think ownership would have just let him resign then. You know what I mean? I don't think he was going to get fired before then.
I think he had, like, you know, looking at this season, they're, what, 13-11-5. They're okay. I think they're underperforming a bit, if you're asking me. But it feels like between, you know, having Chevrolet off there from basically day one, I think. And Maurice was their second coach. Since coming back to Winnipeg, it's like, I think they're a very, like, they don't like changing things up a whole lot. Whereas, like, if it's working, we'll keep you. Sure, like, you know, if you lose 10 in a row and you go, and then after the break, you lose another 20, yeah, you fire Paul Maurice. But, like, I think I agree with Alston where you don't, or Maurice wasn't going to get fired. He might just not get his option picked up, which is, like, in a sense, a mutual decision.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like the Jets seem to be underperforming, and maybe they're looking like, I don't know, maybe things will come out. It just, to me, it seemed like it wasn't like, you know, the Jets were, you know, like they weren't at the bottom of the standings. They weren't at the top of the standings. They're kind of in the middle, where you know they kind of they're underperforming. It just seemed like, in general, the way I look at the Jets right now, like Wheeler scored his first goal of the season like a week ago. I don't know if that's on Maurice for not, you know, doing more, or if that's Wheeler just not, you know, having a poor shooting year. But I don't know. It just seems to me that, like, yes, Maurice, maybe he's just jumping the gun because he knows he probably doesn't have much time left in Winnipeg.
I don't feel like Maurice had enough time left. I mean, like, if you look at it, I mean, their goaltending is great. Yeah, they've got, I'd say, two elite offensive players, maybe three, in Ehlers, Dubois, Connor. Blake Wheeler is going to score more. I think everyone knows that. There's no way he's going to finish the year with a 1.8 shooting percentage. You know what I mean? Unless there's injury, of course, but like 1.8. I'd say Neil Pionk has not played up to standard this season. I think he's to be a bit better. But at the end of the day, I don't think they're a team made for the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. I don't necessarily consider this a championship team. And that's not really the fault of the coach. At the end of the day, I just think he was just like, you know, the passion just really isn't there, which is, like I said, I respect it. You know, just you're aware. But like at the same time, you look at Central Division, like there's a lot of what's going on there, right? Like, I'm sorry, I didn't have Minnesota up there. I didn't have Nashville up there. I had Colorado up there, who's fourth. I had Winnipeg up there, who's fifth. I just think this division's just taking a mess. And I think that's sort of like a lot of external reasons, right? Don't get me wrong. Like, I think if you look at the year this year that teams are having, there's so many question marks, in the sense that who would have thought the Canadiens would be last? Who would have thought the Islanders would be last? Who would have thought the Ducks would be first in the division? You know what I mean? It's so many things. I mean, there's so many external factors that we'll talk about in a bit. But there's a lot of external factors that are kind of like screwing around with everything. I don't think anyone blames Maurice. I think that's part of the reason why everyone's so surprised. You know what I mean? We all saw it when we was like, oh yeah, Paul Maurice is resigning. Everyone was like, wait, what? What do you mean? What's going on? And I think that if they were so underperforming, at some point when he was like, oh yeah, he's resigning, people would be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Jeffrey?
I wonder if losing to the Sabres sucked the soul out of him, and then that's why he resigned.
So from what I know, from what he said, was like there was a few opportunities for him to resign, and they kept on winning. So he's like, oh, I can't resign now. And I think he said the Sabres, that wasn't the clincher. But then that was when he was also like, yeah, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to go.
His final act with the Jets was bagging skates with them.
I don't know. I could see a team like Philly offer him a job, but it's a matter of does he want the job? You know what I mean? I still think he is an NHL level head coach. It's more of does he want it, though?
He's still, like, in terms of NHL coach age, I think he's still very young. He's, like, 50-ish, right? You got other guys who are, like, pushing their late 50s or 60s and whatnot. So I think he's a little burnt out. And probably not this season, but maybe, like, next year, or, like, when more positions become open, he'll look at it and, like, reassess. But I don't think... For me, I don't think he'll like be a coach with someone else before the end of the season. Whether that's like, you know, associate, assistant, I don't think he's gonna do that until next year.
I would take him over Dominique Ducharme any day. So Paul Maurice, please come to Montreal. I don't like Dominique Ducharme at all. I think most people don't. So please come to Montreal.
So is it because his last name is Maurice? You can imagine it. He works, even though he doesn't speak French, but it's Maurice.
Oh, no, I just want a good NHL coach. I don't care if they're Canadian, French Canadian, European, whatnot. The Canadians just need an actual coach. So I think Paul Maurice, he's an NHL level coach. I agree with Anton. Like, probably this year, he's going to take, you know, some time off, you know, re-energize himself. But I don't see him on the sidelines for very long, I would say.
I don't know, man. Paul is a pretty French name. Maurice is a pretty French name. Maybe you call him Paul Maurice Richard for a clincher.
Paul Maurice, in quotations, Richard.
Yes.
What about the guy who replaced him? Dave Lowry, also known as Adam Lowry's dad.
Is it going to be like Pee Wee hockey where everyone's dad's going to be their coach? Like, isn't like Dubois' like dad also in the system watching him? Like, it's just going to be dads behind the bench now.
Pretty sure Pierre-Luc Dubois' dad is in the Moose assistant, like, coaching staff. But are you ready for first-line center Adam Lowry, Olsen?
Okay, but like, okay, so how do you lose a room 101 preparation treatment on your son? But at the same time, it's like, you know, if you bag skate your son too hard, does your wife come and be like, you can't do that to our child?
Come home for dinner. He's like, you can't do that.
Does he get in trouble when he gets home with his, with the wife for bag skating his son?
Just specifically, Adam bag skates every day for no specifically reason. He's just like, Adam, you're gonna bag skate today and every day, regardless I'm the head coach or not. You're gonna bag skate.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen, but you know what, I think Paul Maurice, great coach. You know, it's sad to see him, you know, step down, but I think he'll be back, and you know, we'll see how the Jets do. It seems to me like when you change your coach, good things happen. Like looking at Vancouver, so yeah.
All right, with that being said, let's start the show proper, shall we?
You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
And we are back. So, I feel like it's not controversial, but like, can we just pause the season? Like, until like, you know, 2-3 weeks.
I think that owners would rather have their arenas filled with people so that they can make money. So pausing the season would be a no-no for them.
Okay, but hear me out. 2-3 weeks, let's flatten the curve a little bit. People are going to be more willing to go out. And you hopefully have more capacity. So you're not playing in front of no fans if you're the Habs. Or playing with half the fans if you're Toronto. Then you get even more money. And people are willing to come out. You know, they're more willing to, I don't know, not just sit there. They might be willing to have some concessions, where the big money makers, right, have some concessions. You know, right now they're losing half your paid ticket fans.
But isn't the NHL still making like a whole bunch of money, even though that they're technically in a pandemic and they're not full capacity?
Remember, according to Travis Yost, about 10% of the league is in COVID-19 protocols right now, in the last 5 days.
Probably more by the time we finish.
Yeah, so today's Saturday afternoon when we're recording. But it's about 10% of the league. Like, I hope this never happens. But statistically speaking, eventually, a player is probably going to end up in the ICU or in the hospital, COVID-related. Eventually. Hopefully it's never, obviously, but the numbers, eventually you're going to get there. Do you really want to get to there first before it happens?
Well, you look at it. I forgot his name, but the guy that the Wild drafted, I think this past year.
Marco Rossi?
Yeah, Marco Rossi. Like, even, he's like, what, 18, 19. He said he still has, like, the after effects. And he got it, like, basically, not the first wave, but when COVID was really starting hit the world, he was one of like the first ones I remember seeing and hearing about, right? And to this day, he still has after effects from that, COVID.
Yeah, like we'll go back to money. When you sign these players to deals, especially when you sign a long-term deals, these are multi-million dollar investments, right? Okay, if not, you sign the bare minimum contract, it's still a hundreds of thousands. It's a, you know, it's a big investment. You don't want to risk your investment, right? Like, and especially at a point where if you risk your, if you decided, hey, you know what, we're going to take a break, you're not going to be looked at as a negative in the PR. I feel like as a PR move, that's probably worth something as well. It makes the league look like a leader in a time where I think when it comes to a lot of health and social issues in the NHL, they're not necessarily a leader compared to, let's say, the NBA. You know what I mean? It's like they can take this as a positive marketing event. A. B. You say, hey, you know what? We just like to take care of our guys. It's important we take care of our guys. Save some money on your investments. And C. We'll talk about this in a bit. But if they choose to go Olympics, you know, you don't want to have, be bringing an outbreak with you.
I think, what, even tonight, we had initially like 11 games or something. Now we're down to 4 or 5. Because Toronto just got canceled for tonight. Like, as we speak, like, games are being canceled or postponed or whatever, so.
Like, what's the point when, you know, half your games aren't playing tonight, right? Like, Florida versus Minnesota is canceled. Toronto versus Vancouver canceled. These are postponed. Florida versus Minnesota postponed. Toronto versus Vancouver postponed. Boston versus Montreal postponed. Tampa versus Colorado postponed. Columbus versus Calgary postponed. And with the games that are still playing, Duncan Keith is out for COVID. I feel a bunch of players out for COVID tonight. What's the point? You're putting a subpar product. Not subpar, but not the best you can have product out tonight. And like half your games are canceled.
Well, like, you know, if I were paying to see a game right now, like Seattle Edmonton, I want to see Connor McDavid. I don't want to see whoever they bring up to replace whoever they take out, right?
Jeffrey's been awfully quiet, and I'm trying to figure out if he's like stewing up an argument or
No, I just see, like, you're going to have to get 17 people on that board of governors to say that, yes, let's lock down, let's stop making money. And yes, I agree, you know, like, stopping could, you know, improve the value of your investment, you know, preventing them from getting sick. But as an owner, I think you take that risk and be like, you know, it's not going to happen to my team, you know, they'll be fine. And, you know, they're athletes, like, I think the owners consider everything as an asset here, right? So they don't really, I think they're willing to take that risk. So in my opinion, I just think, like, unless it's like a widespread outbreak, like between teams, then you're going to see more of a potential like shutdown or pause of the NHL. But if it's individual teams that are having outbreaks and you're not seeing team to team, exposure, then I don't really see the NHL really, you know, making that big jump to, you know, hit pause on, you know, the NHL.
So how much of it is they gotta at least wait for an NBA, an NFL to kind of take that first step?
I don't think it's necessarily like they're waiting for another league to make it. I think all big four, well, really, I guess it's just the two right now. NFL is just on its own right now, and MLB is on a strike. But like, I think between the NBA and NHL, they definitely talk, right? Because they share a lot of the spaces together, like a lot of the arenas. I remember last year they were worried about like there was an outbreak between the Lakers and Clippers, and if it like in the dressing rooms could have potentially caused transfer to over to the Kings as well. Like, I think that they're definitely talking between themselves because, you know, a lot of the owners potentially own, you know, both an NBA and an NHL, or like they're close like business partners. So to me, I don't think it's too much of a factor that, you know, if an NBA shuts down, I think the NHL falls through. But I also see this, the alternative, right? If the NHL shuts down, then the NBA would shut down as well.
Yeah, I think, but I kind of went going before, right? Like, the NHL is not necessarily a leader in these things. And I guess to a certain degree, it's like, if you look at the US market, they are maybe hoping that, like, they get eyeballs exclusively on them for a couple days. But I feel like it's a great time to, you know, look like a leader. It's just a good look. And it's not a very good look when your players are actively tweeting they want to put a pause on the season, right? So Nick Cousins tweeted, why aren't we pausing on the season? And I don't know, like, obviously I have no, how do I put this? I have no insight into this, but we all kind of, sorry, let me repeat. The tweet from Nick Cousins was, pause the season until after Christmas. This is ridiculous. So we as a group know that hockey players, NHL players, are very conservative with what they share, right? You look at press conferences. Yep, pucks in deep, work hard. They don't really kind of share how they're feeling. So I think if there's a player who's sharing that comment out to the public, especially one who we know is not a very outgoing personality guy in front of the media, you got to think there's a whole bunch of other players who are also thinking about this, but are not comfortable sharing that sentiment. You know what I mean?
I think you need to wait for a star. I'm sorry, Nick Cousins, but I'm pretty sure you're still, what, fourth line on the Preds? Like, I think until you get, like, a star to really, you know, put their hat behind that sentiment and make it public before I think the NHL really makes a move about it. And I know you mentioned U.S. markets earlier. I wonder, you know, maybe because we only have the Canadian perspective. Like, I'm pretty sure Florida still thinks they never got hit with the virus. I'm pretty sure that's still the sentiment in Florida. So, like, that's why I'm saying, like, you know, you need to get 17 owners on the board of governors to, like, agree, right? And if most of them are in the U.S. who still think that, you know, there's no such thing as a pandemic, you're not going to get them to pause the season.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a, I don't even call it pipe dream because it's, you know, it's a negative thing, right? But, like, I'm hopeful. Speaking of COVID, though, so what are these Olympic teams going to look like if there's COVID? You know, you're going to have a whole bunch of players who don't make it, right? In the sense that they just choose not to go. Not that, you know what I mean?
I have a potential proposition for the Olympics and the NHL, but I'll kind of save that for later. But, like, to answer your question, I think hearing what if someone were to test positive for COVID at the Olympics and how much of a quarantine you're gonna have to do, like how long you might have to end up staying in Beijing, like, I think that scares a lot of NHL players and NHL teams, right? Like 3 to 5 weeks staying in Beijing, and you know, all you can do is just watch your team play. Like, that's gonna be hard on, you know, players, and you know, teams aren't gonna want to do that, right? Like, they're like, I'm sure it's gonna be fine in the bubble in Beijing. Like, I think back to Tokyo, realistically, I don't think there was too many big outbreaks, I would say, in the Tokyo bubble. So I'm hoping it's going to be similar to Beijing, especially since it's the second, you know, Olympics under the pandemic. So I feel like they like would make, you know, changes to reduce further, you know, outbreaks and stuff. But like, I could definitely see, you know, star players, you know, saying, you know, I'm not willing to take that risk to, you know, having to potentially quarantine in Beijing if I test positive. Like, maybe I will, you know, decide to just stay back home and, you know, enjoy my 3 weeks off.
I think, like, turning it back to what we were talking about earlier, like, let's say a Connor Hellebuyck, you know what I mean, like how important he is to the Jets. they look like they're going to be in a playoff race by the end of the season, right? You know, I could totally see him deciding, you know what, like, I don't want to run the risk of possibly getting COVID. And I hope he doesn't, right, obviously. But I don't run the risk of that and, you know, be stuck in. It's not a matter of it's China. It's that they don't want to be away from the team for 3 weeks, a month, you know, a month and a bit, because they have to quarantine or whatever, right? Like, I think when you look at it, a lot of players will look at it and be like, you know what, like, it's too much of a risk to be gone from that long, just so I can't help the team. And you've got to wonder if there's some, like, owners who are just like, can you, like, not go? You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, like, we kind of need you to help drive some ticket sales, and if you're not here, we're in trouble.
Yeah, like, if you look at, say, like, your Hellebuck example, if you're at, you know, you're done the whole Olympics whole thing, but then on the last day or second to last day, you test positive, then you're stuck there for what, 3 weeks per the regulations? That 3 weeks is going to go on regardless of you being there or not. So that's basically, I don't know, over a month that you're away from your team. And guys like Hellebuck, McDavid, Matthews, like, they have to consider that if they want to go to the Olympics. But at the same time, it's, you also have guys like Stamkos saying, like, he wants to go because he missed out on, I think, 2012 with an injury, and 2014, NHL players just weren't going to Olympics and the whole lot. So it's like, you have both sides where it's like, yeah, for the team, like, and like your family, don't go. But I get why certain players do want to go, though. Like, it's the Olympics. It's one of the biggest stages in the world.
So I have a question before we get there. Okay. So when players are put on the COVID list, this is kind of, it's kind of really messed up way, I think, I know. Are they exempt from the salary cap?
I don't think so.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, you want to do the whole Tampa?
No, I'm not saying, but I'm just wondering if that does anything. I'm not saying any team is just going to try doing anything stupid. No. I'm just wondering as a whole.
Hypothetically.
No comment. Just wondering.
I'm pretty sure they still count towards the cap. Like, even currently, they still count towards the cap.
I wonder, though, like, would they be, like, put on LTIR, maybe? Or they'll be, like, issued, like, a loan?
No. There's no shenanigans. I don't think they're doing shenanigans. I don't. I think something this serious, you probably don't, you know, mess with the shenanigans.
It's two separate lists, in a sense. It's, like, one for specifically COVID, and then if you're, like, you have a dislocated whatever, or surgery, you're going the LTIR for that. That's two whole separate lists.
Yeah, but you could say that they tested positive, now they're ill effects from, you know, having COVID and now they're quarantined, so, you know, they're unable to play. And, like, I could definitely see, though, that the NHL might prepare something, because, like, when you're on the COVID list, like, maybe you're max, like, a week, maybe two. But if you're, like, quarantining after Olympics for 3 to 5 weeks, I could definitely see the NHL maybe coming up with, like, an exemption. Or, like, because, like, I'm just trying to think, like younger players can get loaned to, like, the World Junior teams, even if they have, like, a contract. Are teams loaning their players to the Canadian Olympic team, maybe?
I don't know if I want to go there, man. Like, I think it gets into just whole speculation, and usually I'm down to speculate, but for this one, I don't know if I'm down with it.
I think that's a bit too much, but, like, yes, in the sense that if you get, like, after effects, like, let's just say, like, the Marco Rossi, like, the whole thing, it's like, yeah, I can kind of see that moving forward, but I still think it'll be mostly the COVID protocol list, whereas, you know, the whole your injured list is where you're injured.
I mean, like I think they're I know it's hard to like not speculate, but I think there are exemptions to the rule where it doesn't have to be like necessarily a physical injury, right? Like we've seen people be put on LTIR or like other lists where, you know, maybe it's not a physical injury, but you know, they're not gonna be able to play for a while, and you know, they are put on a list where their cap hold is released. So I think that there probably will be an exemption, but I'm also like kind of hoping like there's a good chance maybe none of them get COVID, right? Like if the Olympic bubble works, realistically, you're very rarely gonna have a potential outbreak. I know it's harder with like, you know, the team sports because you have like a lot more people congregated together, but like I said before, like this is gonna be the second Olympics under the pandemic. Any mistakes they made in Tokyo, hopefully they're gonna rectify it with the Beijing Olympics. So I'm hopeful, but I think that there's still quite a bit of risk to go to the Olympics for NHL players.
Yeah, but if you're, let's just go with like also an example of earlier, just like, let's go with the Leafs top four. It's just a Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander. If they all go, and if, let's say not even them, just one of their teammates catches COVID, then they're behind it, right? So you're the Leafs. You have to ice who exactly with what cap? You just, it's like a, like we, I haven't seen anything that in regards to a, how do you say it, what would happen if something like this to happen. But yeah, I think also right where like players seriously have to consider that, yes, going to the Olympics is a, like, you know, personal, like, you want to be on the biggest stage for the country and everything, but you still have February, March, and April to play.
I think another big concern is the whole All-Star game. Like, I can't remember, but I feel like in past Olympic years, they normally canceled the All-Star game, right? Because there are like, oh, there's already a festive event, like there's a big event already, do we need an All-Star game on top of it? And I think a lot of people are thinking that the All-Star game could become a super spreader event prior to the Olympics.
So I'm gonna go back. So 2014, there was no All-Star game. 2010, no All-Star game. 2006, no All-Star game. But we go further back. 2002, there was. But in the last couple ones, I guess you say there isn't. 2018, anomaly, of course, didn't go, so it doesn't really matter. But I think also they kind of want one because, like, it helps them grow the game, right? An All-Star game really helps grow the game. But they didn't have one last year. I don't think they don't want to do 2 years in a row where they don't have it. I mean, you can always change it up, right? Like, it's your All-Star game. You could say, hey, you have it with, like, a Young Guns All-Star game. Or, like, you have a team of, I don't know, under 25 versus over 25's All-Star game who didn't go to the Olympics.
That's too fun. No, I never mean,
like,
go for that.
Okay, so, like, the NHL seems like they're, like, they've realized what a goldmine Trevor Zegras is. Could you not just go to the All-Star game kind of around him? I don't think he's making the Olympic team. You know what I mean? Like, have that. Have a little bit of, I don't know, some Jack Hughes if he doesn't make the Olympic team. You know, like, you can kind of promote your young stars. Jeffrey?
That's why I think my proposition is to make the All-Star game and the Olympics mutually exclusive. So, like, you can only pick to go to either the All-Star game or the Olympics. I think, A, that gives a great chance for, you know, players who want to have some more spotlight to, you know, either go to one or the other event. It gives players the options, you know, I could, you know, go to the Olympics or the All-Star, and like both are big events. But also by, you know, making them mutually exclusive, you make the All-Star game potentially not a spreader event for the Olympics. It also allows players to, you know, start preparing with their Olympic teams earlier. And also that, you know, you're gonna be able to get them to go to, you know, Beijing earlier, quarantine, get that all done over quicker, and so they're not, you know, going from straight from the All-Star game right into the Olympics. And I think that this comment is very controversial because everyone wants to talk.
Alston, I'll guess what you're gonna say. If I were to pick between an All-Star game that happens every year or representing my country that happens once every 4 years and the last event didn't even happen, I would go to the Olympics. I don't know about you.
So, yes, I would agree with you there. But also, hear me out. What if we didn't have an All-Star game? What if you kind of radically changed it where each team selects one player and you just have like a mini skills competition?
I think that's probably the best idea, like in terms of like we just don't have an All-Star game total and not even have a skills event. Like, to me,
it seems like it's, sorry to cut you off there, but like you have that and then you have, let's say, the player represented from the leaders of each division be the captains, and you kind of just have like individual events where you have, let's say, 8 players, right, from each, right, and you kind of just do have 4 events. So you do 8 players for a shootout, 8 players on a skills thing, you know what I mean? It's a total of 32. And A, it's more interesting. The game kind of sucks, I'll be honest with you. You gotta admit, the game kind of sucks. B, you're gonna get more eyeballs. C, you're limiting the amount of, most important thing is, you're limiting the amount of people that are really there. You know what I mean? It's only one player, so you're kind of minimizing the risk. And you kind of just have like a skills thing. I think players would be more enticed to do that.
I'm going to say that I am not watching people try to Michigan and try to shoot and call that an All-Star weekend. Like, I don't care that, you know, they're cool, like, young people with plenty of skill, but, like, that's not something I'm going to watch, you know? Like I think that an All-Star game still has its merits, and I think especially, like, there's people have bonuses related to being selected as an All-Star, so I think that you need to have an All-Star game, but I'm not going to watch entire weekend of skills competition. Like, it's cool. Like, it's fun to watch, you know, superstars do it, but are you really going to watch, you know, what, Louis Erickson, you know, try to skate around the ice? Like, is that what you're really going to call, like, an All-Star weekend?
Well, no, it'd be like Jacob Chychrun, but also, I never said, like, okay, you gotta, do you watch the game? I usually open it, turn it on, I'm just like, I don't really care anymore. People are going at 30% pace. Goalies are just, you know, not really doing much. I would rather watch skills competition. Just have it one night. It doesn't have to be 3 nights. Just one night. Get it done with. Every player that's selected is considered an All-Star. For bonuses, whatever. Every single player selected is an All-Star. And you just have it one night. And you kind of get it done with. Players can then go home, rest, take their COVID test to ensure that this wasn't a super spreader event. And then you kind of get a week to kind of monitor the players and be like, okay, no symptoms, tests are clean, and we get it over with. If you, I like, think it's like, you know, you make it mutually exclusive, you know, it gets complicated. Why complicate everything? Just dumb it down. I think we just need to simplify it. Have what the people want to watch. The people you're attracting, sorry, that you most want to watch, right? This is just to attract and make people know the game more. No need to complicate things. Simple. Anson, what are your thoughts on this?
I just want to throw out, as we were speaking, Taylor Hall and Curtis Lazar are placing COVID protocol. So it's just like, as we're going, names are being added. Just, you know, the 10% of the league is just it's increasing as we're going, as we're speaking right now. But I think having an All-Star game, especially, like, I get why you want to have it, but having the Olympics in a pandemic season, like, it's still a pandemic. I don't remember when the dates are, but I think it's, like, Olympics first, and then it's, like, the All-Star game after that, right? From what I gather. I don't think there should be an All-Star game if you're not going to have the best players there and you're not going to play a game. If you're going to do a skills competition, I don't think you should do it.
I think you might have it the other way around. I think the All-Star game is ahead of the Olympics. And like, even if it's not the best players, like it's that, you know, tier two players, right? And I think, you know, maybe some players do decide that, hey, I'd rather go to the All-Star game than the Olympics. I really don't want to do that quarantine and I want to be able to play with my team. And yeah, you could do the skills competition on a Saturday and do the game on Sunday. I think you can still do that. Maybe you just don't have the biggest stars because they're all preparing for the Olympics. But I think that kind of shows responsibility from the NHL and the NHLPA being like, hey, we still want to support our fans and, you know, have an excellent All-Star game for, you know, I think it's Vegas that's hosting it. But, you know, we still recognize that the NHL and the Olympics, that's big, you know, partnership. And, you know, we're going to try to do our best to limit the risk. So, you know, we're going to give our players a decision. You know, if they get selected to the All-Star game, they can choose to pass if they, you know, decide to get, you know, play at the Olympics. And if,
can,
you
I know, jump they in decide... here? Can I jump in here? Can I jump in here? Sorry, I just want to make sure you guys are aware of this. The Olympics start, the first game is on the 9th. The All-Star game is on the 5th. So it's most likely already going to happen where you got to choose to go one or the other. You're not going to be able to do both. I think that's a given. So I think we should start with that first.
I mean, planes can fly pretty fast, right?
You gotta be in quarantine before you start in the Olympics.
So does that mean my suggestion?
It's mutually exclusive. You're correct. You can either or. You cannot do both.
Yeah, so it in theory, it'd be like a quote-unquote, in my opinion, a subpar product if players have to choose between Olympics.
But I think this is different, right? We're considering it being like, hey, you can do one or the other and you're fine. You also have to consider chances of you having to quarantine in a different country if you do the All-Star game is way less, you know, near zero, right? Compared to the Olympics where that's a distinct possibility.
Yes, like if you go over there and your team goes all the way and you're just in a hotel room for 3 weeks.
Yeah, so like I think it's not as clear cut as you make it sound, Anson. I think most years, yes, it's very clear cut, but I don't think it's as clear cut in the sense that a lot of players will be like, I don't want to go to the Olympics because of the COVID risk compared to going to the All-Star game.
Like Anson, would you rather quarantine in, like, say you took a trip and you tested positive and you have to quarantine on site, like, would you rather do that or would you rather, you know, have the opportunity to, you know, be able to quarantine back at home?
That's different though. It's, I'm looking at it as a, you go, like, if you're, again, I'm using Stamkos as an example, if he doesn't go now, in 4 years there's a chance he might not be able to go. So I can kind of see where he's coming from. It's like, and he's won everything. It's, in a sense, it's like, that's the one he really wants. So he's going to go after it. If he quarantines, he quarantines. So be it. But I think that's where I'm going to look at it, where it's like, you know, if I get the chance to go to the Olympics, I would go to the Olympics.
And I think that's like a completely valid perspective. And there's going to be the people who have like the opposite. And I think that's where, you know, players are going to have to make that decision, right? Like, what do I want to do? I have all this information in front of me. What decision will I make that I think is the best for myself? And I think that's going to be an interesting, you know, dilemma for a lot of these players. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, players respond, how teams respond, how the league's going to respond. And I mean, I think everyone in the end, all we really want is, you know, an excellent Olympic. We want, you know, a great All-Star game. It's just that it's hard to see, given how, you know, COVID has run rampant right now, for us to see, you know, a bright future for the Olympics and the All-Star game come February.
Yeah, I think we've been beating this a dead horse, and I got to run soon. So let's wrap this up. I think realistically this year, the All-Star game is not going to have as bad of rosters as we feel, as we've been kind of wondering, and the Olympic rosters may not be as good as we think. So it'll be interesting to see that. But before we move on, just want to point out, since this has been a big topic for us last couple weeks, we didn't talk about last couple weeks, but China is actually going to be in Division A with Canada, US, and Germany. So we'll see how that comes out, especially with the interesting rosters, especially for a team like Germany, where you're not, you know, there's a chance you may not be able to get your star guy in Draisaitl. You know, we never know, right? But with that being said, final thoughts? We'll start with Jeffrey.
I just love how Anson tried to mute himself so he didn't have to go for a final thoughts. But for my final thoughts,
and I'll do it again.
Anson just never, you know, Anson, I think before every episode, you should prepare some final thoughts so that you don't feel like you're put on the spot and that you would have nothing to say. And if you really have nothing to say, you just kind of drag on like what I'm doing until I come up with what I want to say. But for me, I think, you know, this might be our last episode for the year. You know, we like to record on weekends and, you know, the holidays this year fall on weekends. And I think we should take some of our own guidance where, you know, we want to spend time with friends and family, like in a safe manner, obviously. And I think that's something that we're going to do. Maybe we might, you know, post something. Maybe we won't. But I think it's a very important time to spend the holidays with your family and friends. So hopefully everyone, you know, if you have the opportunity to do so, you know, spend some quality time with friends and family. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I'll pass it over to Olsen.
Should have muted myself. Yeah, I think this is probably it for the year. I think maybe don't quote me on this one, the last weekend of the year. Maybe something for, I guess next week is the last weekend. Maybe something for the 31st? I don't know. we'll see. I don't know. Stay safe, y'all. We love you, and don't want you to catch COVID. Simple as that. And Zdeno Chara for All-Star Game. Lock it. Anson.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Hopefully, we see you by end of this year. If not, we'll see you in 2022.
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us? You can tweet us at BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.